الحمد لله الذي استجاب لدعائنا الاسلام بكل بلسان نكون الله سبحانه وتعالى رب الله سبحانه وتعالى سورة الفاتحة وقوم صلاة العشاء في الجماعة ذلك وقوم صلاة الفجر في الجماعة we all know very well it's a very simple very basic thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous that Allah is willing to reward us if we stick to these two salat in jama'ah Allah is going to reward us for the entire night it will be written and rewarded as that we perform salat and we stay our entire night the anger is very interesting because the believer the Muslim lives with that consciousness when he goes to the bed in the night he goes with the intention that I want to wake up for Fajr I want to wake up for Tahajjud so that intention alone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to fulfill the act and be among those who are really fortunate my respected brothers every amal if you take any good deed there is a preparation before that and when it comes to salah our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has really taught us how do we prepare ourselves First is that physical preparation. When it comes to physical preparation, then there is law of Islamic jurisprudence said that you have to be clean, physically clean. Your body should not contain any impurity, any najis. And then again, the clothes that you wear to cover your awra, cover your necessary part of your body, it should not contain any dirt or any impurity, any najis. And then the place where you pray, the place where you pray. It's very important, cleanliness of yourself, the place and the clothing that you wear. So we have to be very, very careful and conscious about where we go, when we travel, in taxis, you know, it is something very important. We have to be very much concerned, and especially when we use public toilet, washroom, and we use this common, we have to be very, very careful. If there is any najas, because there is one hadith which actually frightens me and sometimes I ask myself this question, why if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this such a big thing that if a person goes to washroom, toilet, and if he does not clean himself properly, then Allah will punish him in clean. Because cleanliness is something very important and we need to teach our children. So when we go to washroom, when we really travel around, the public transport, because we as Muslims, we must be any time ready to perform salah. So our clothing should be in such a way that our clothes, our body, and then this is the physical cleanliness. And then you have the minor and major impurity, which is concerned spiritual cleanliness. Physically a person can say, you know, I just took a bath, I'm clean. I just washed my clothes and my clothes is clean. You know, there's nothing. But if he doesn't have wudu, spiritually he is not clean. So spiritually cleaning yourself is something very important. What happens when it comes to wudu, it is just we come wash our hands, face, everyone come, no. You need to try, it is the ibadah. Your salah, the ibadah, the act of ibadah begins with wudu. It depends that when you are rushing, the jamaat is taking place or you are running out of time, then you try to make it fast as possible. But even again, Islam does not encourage you. You shouldn't run for salah. There is a hadith you shouldn't run. You have to take your time. There is no rush. You take your time and join the imam. So wudu, your ibadah of salah begins from wudu. If your wudu is not performed well, that means your salah is not going to be performed well as well. If you're not going to concentrate while you're performing wudu, remembering the du'as, you know, beginning with bismillah, washing your face, making sure that you wash all the parts, you don't miss anything. Last year we were discussing about those things. And all the parts, you know, which has been mentioned, your face, the hand, your perfect forehead when it comes. And then again the ear, it's not followed with sunnah. And then again your feet, you make sure that it is really washed. There is hadith, وَيُّ الْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ If you do not wash your feet properly, if you don't wash your feet, especially your heels, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that feet can go to hellfire. Because Why you doing it? Because you are not taking care. It is not a matter, a serious matter. This is the attitude issue. When you take time, when you really concentrate on Guru, that means you really regard Salah as something very important. I am going to stand in front of my Creator, so you are very particular about your Guru. Very particular about your Guru. So Guru is something very, very important. Again, that is the minor impurity Guru and then Ghusl. When there is a Janaba, when the Ghusl becomes compulsory. That means you need to take the bath, which is compulsory bath. On Friday, it is Masha'Allah Sunnah to have a bath, and there are many occasions of, you know, taking a bath, a shower in the Sunnah. But when it comes to Farz, bath is something very important. We need to make sure that our entire body, we wash us well, we perform wudu. This is, you know, the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they did not waste a lot of water. We take the water for granted. We use a lot of water, but still we have not washed ourselves well. The time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we use very little water. They make sure that the entire body was washed and it was wet, it was, you know, really taken care of. So that's very important. Even if we have water, there's a hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I read in one of the, you know, mineral water bottles of Australian product, they mentioned the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even you are in front of a river, you should not be. It's something very important. You do not understand the value of water. That the entire life, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, everything exists. Every living thing exists, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought those things into life and water. So all the creation, all the living things depend on water, so it's something very important. So who do you need to concentrate? Start with Bismillah, concentrate it, and we know that hadith, when you perform in wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving our minor sins that is done by our lips. Our face, that is from eyes, ears, and whatever we have uttered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is washing all those things, even our arms and all that. So something very important. And immediately after wudu, there is a dua. We say, we remind about our faith. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين واجعلني من عباد الصالحين. Why use the dua? This, you know, what happened? Why we spiritually we don't get boost? Five times, if you just concentrate and read this dua, spiritually you will be boosted. Because you are actually again affirming yourself that I am Muslim. You are witness. There is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu. And Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening. And that is Allah Ta'ala, the Tawwabi. Allah made me amongst those who is going to repent Allah. The Salah is for that. Repent. وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah made me amongst those who will purify myself. This purification is to see. It's as both the means. Physical purification through wudu. And again, spiritual purification through. Then وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah make me among those who are really pious and obedient to Allah. We take this to ask for granted. We just sometimes we read it, we do not know the meaning, we don't really concentrate. So the preparation for Salah begins from wudu. We need to try and make ourselves, we try to take time and perform wudu as before. Then the preparation before the Fard Salah. When Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam introduced that many sunnah before and after, because then only you can just take the concentration. Sunnah Salah is like you become a player. What do you do? Before you go and perform, you do your warm-up. So Sunnah Salah is your warm-up to concentrate yourself, because you have been out. As human, it's really difficult. You have been in the taxi, as in a lot of guys driving taxi. There will be a lot of things that they see that distract you. You sooner to you say Allahu Akbar, that comes from us. This is how shaitan works. Amazing things. You remember amazing things that you don't know. And as soon as you say Assalamu Alaikum, you forget that. So this is how it works. Because, you know, that's the challenge that we have. So we need to warm up ourselves. The sunnah before is something very important. And then the intention. This is what is called faith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And in the madhab of Shafi'i, they emphasize a lot, and all the madhab emphasize that about the intention. Because every action is dependent on intention. You come and perform, you should know what salah you are performing. Are you facing the qibla? This has to be important. You come to masjid, you are performing that. This has to be important. At home, many houses we go, people do not know where the qibla. Something very important. When you walk into a Muslim's house, first thing that you should do at home, when you buy a house, when you rent a house, first thing, declare a place for salah. And you should perform salah. Keep it clean. And then first you mark the qibla. You should mark it. Then in the saying that when a visitor comes to your house, you need to show certain things. This is ethics. One is you need to show where the washroom, where is the rest room for him. If the house is a private place, he cannot just roam around it. And then the imagine that. Because he needs to perform, he needs to do the ibadah. This is something. MashaAllah, now the halal tourism is, you know, going, everybody comes. You go to many hotels, MashaAllah, they have. Mark the qibla every place. Because you know, Muslims are traveling, people are concerned about the salah. They make the, even the hotels really, you know, friendly, that you know, it's easy to ask to identify the qibla. So something very important. Salah, the qibla has to be really accurate. Your intention. What is the salah? How many rak'ahs you perform? Is it a sunnah? Is it fard? All these has to be, you have to have this in your mind. You cannot just come and pray. You should know. You should be really conscious about what is the salah you are performing. Is it fajr you are performing, or is it tahajjud, or whatever it is. You have to be really conscious about what. So this is what niyyah is. In the madhab of Shafi'i, they say you need to utter the niyyah. The reason is there is no hadith of uttering the niyyah. But the reason why they have said, because it helps a person to remember what is his salah, uttering the niyyah. So in uttering, you say, okay, I am performing the fajr salah with this two raka'ah. As Mahmoud or as Imam, I have performed this salah. You have to mention that very well. Now, once you have stood salah, you have the intention. First, you call Takbiratul Ihram, not Allah. Facing the qibla, you have the intention, stood really straight. This is something. If you are able to stand, you have to stand. This is a unanimous opinion of all the Muslims. No scholars have different opinion. If you are not weak, if you are not sick, for Fard Salah, you need to stand. Especially for Takbiratul Ihram, you need to stand, and then if you find difficult, you can sit. But in Takbiratul Ihram, because you see, Iqamah. Basically, in the Quran, even the Ramadan, Qiyamul Layl. Qiyam is an important fact. Standing in Salah is an important fact when it comes to Iman. When it comes to Salah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah used to stand longer. His qiyam and sujood used to be longer than any other position. Qiyam and sujood. So these are the two important postures in Salah. So qiyam, standing. And qiyam al-qadir. The one who is able to stand, he has to stand. He cannot take. But when it comes to sunnah, salah, you can sit. But when it comes to stand, from salah, it is necessary, you have to stand. At least for the Takbiratul Ihram. Takbiratul Ihram, why you call it Takbiratul Ihram? That takbir. Soon as you do that takbir, Allahu Akbar, you come to that portion. Before that, whatever, there were certain things which was halal for you. Why in salah it's not halal? You cannot speak, you cannot eat, you cannot drink, you cannot, you know, move around your eyes, and all those things you should concentrate yourself. So certain acts, again, Ihram for Umrah, you call it Ihram because which was halal for you, once you come into the, you know, position of Ihram, then you come into that state, certain things becomes not permissible for you. So again, in Salah, this is what is very important, is Takbiratul Ihram, that your connection with others around your activities, your food, your all that should be restricted. So it's part of the Ihram. So beautiful Allah at all. And then you have, you call it a Salah, or you call it a Wajah. I think Salah, you read in Hanafi Madhab, what do you read? How do you read the Salah? Subhanaka Allahumma, alhamdulillah, wa bihamdik, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ta'ala jaddu, wa la ilaha ghayruh. What do you do? You glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what's that. This is the Madhab of Hanafi and some other Madhab. said that after the takbiratul ihram, it is sunnah. It's not from this one that you have to do it. If you miss that, nothing wrong. But it is the complete form of salah, you do that. Salah. Salah is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, remember one thing, I just missed that. What do we do? Many a time in every moment we say Allahu Akbar. If you're performing two rakat of salah, minimum 12 times we are uttering this word, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Two rakat of salah, 12 times. We're repeating this word Allahu Akbar. We need to understand, what does Allahu Akbar mean? When we stand and say Allahu Akbar, whatever you think it is great, it's big, mighty, there might be certain people really great in your heart, certain things you may think it's mighty, it's really powerful in this world. When you say Allahu Akbar, you are declaring and you're claiming that nothing is greater than Allah. Nothing is greater than Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah. You need to bring this, you know. This is what we are repeating it. In two rak'ah, we are repeating it 12 times. If we perform four rak'ah, 24 times we are saying Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. He is the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greatest. So this is something very important. When we utter the word Allah Akbar, we need to bring this in mind. This is from Allah the greatest. Whatever you love, whatever you think is great, sometimes you may think, you know, my boss, CEO, he's a great guy, he's a smart guy. But you know, more than him, Allah is greatest. Whatever you think, different people think different things are, you know, really mighty and they glorify those things. Sometimes you say, oh, this guy, the president, he's the greatest. No. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. There's nothing can create the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we have planned as Muslims, as believers, as Musalli, we are emphasizing that many times we are repeating it, Allah is okay. And then we the sinner, but in the mother of Hanif Shafi'i, we call it Wajjahatu. It is a ayah from the Quran, Wajjahatu Wajjahiyyah is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he realized the Lord, when he realized who is his creator, who is Allah, then he said, what? I am not going to prescribe parting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understood وَجَّهَتُ وَجِهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطْرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. This is the dua that is mentioned in the Quran. In the Madhab of Shafi, they say, in place of salah, you do this. Because you are standing and you have said to Allah, I have turned myself, وَجَّهَتُ, I have changed my direction, my faith, and everything is directed towards the creator of the heaven and the earth. The originator, father, father means not only creating. Creating means you need to have something and you can recreate. Create it. But father means there is nothing, there was nothing exist but to bring the in the beginning something into existence, that means father. That's why, because heaven and the earth, it wasn't in existence. That Allah is father of Samawat. Father of Samawat. And Hanif al Muslim. And as a natural and obedient person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am not going to be a person who describes partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through salah, we are giving this covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the contract between us. And then, this is the sunnah, all this part is sunnah, is not compulsory. But, qiyam is farz, remember that what I'm saying. Saying Allahu Akbar is not compulsory. But again, it is a complete way of salah. Third, that's very important, so to Fatiha. La salata illa bi Fatiha. If you're performing with Jama'a, some madhahib, like Madhab al Hanafi and some other madhahib, they say that Imam's Fatiha will suffice you. While you're listening to Imam reading, you just, you know, in your mind, you follow the Imam's of the Shaykh, that's that. But in Madhab al Shafi'i, that does not suffice. Even every Musalli, the Mahmouds, have to read the Surah Fatiha. So, in the Madhab of Shafi'i, they say, after Imam reads Surah Al-Fatiha, Imam should pause for a while, give the opportunity to Ma'mums to read the Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Imam should begin the second surah. That's why sometimes you notice that I do that, I give a room with a short one, because the Ma'mum should read the Surah Al-Fatiha. The reason is when Imam starts reading the other surah, the next surah or next verse, there is another ayah, this clashes. another ayah says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَالْتُبِعُوا لَهُ وَالْسِرِ. When Qur'an is being read, you need to keep quiet and keep a good ear. You need to be listening to it. So that's why you need to give a space to it. So according to the Imam, if Imam is reading it, then you listen to it. It's impossible. But while Imam is reading it, you need to follow Imam. When Imam is saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you need to get that in your mind. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Surah Al-Fatiha is the heart of Salah. It's two things which is very, very important. One is Surah Al-Fatiha when it comes to recitation in Salah, Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Al-Tahiyyat. It's a very important recitation and it is compulsory. If there is any shortcoming in Surah Al-Fatiha or in Al-Tahiyyat, the Salah is not right. The first part, these are very important. So even learning it that, pronouncing it properly, we must try to get the understand the meaning. This is very important. You know, this, we don't need to generally Sahaba should come. They don't need long discussion. Come for the Salah, the Imam may read about the Jannah and Jahannam. That is the thing enough. Because they are following it, they understand. There are so many narrations about Sahaba. Umar radiallahu anhu should be a very tough character. He should be very tough and hard upon people. But then the Sahaba, his followers say that, but when he stands for Salah, he used to cry like a small child. So much of khushu, so much of preservation. Every verse he used to read, he used to think about his pilgrimage to Sajda. When you read his Surah Sajda, it's very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about both the people. People of Jannah and people of Jahannam. Hope is being spoken in them. So if it should give us, because unfortunately we come from a background where we don't speak, you know, our mother tongue is not Arabic. But sometimes in Arab world, their mother tongue is Arabic, but they don't understand the Quran. They don't understand the Quran because Quran in Arabic is something very different from the Arabic what they are, they what they use, the language that they use. But yes, of course, when they go to school and learn and things like that, then they concentrate. Yes, they can always understand. But this is something very important. We learn a lot of foreign language. Or even the language that I'm speaking. Not my mother tongue. My mother tongue is Malay. And back home in Sri Lanka, we speak Tamil and Sinhala. But this is not my language. But why I have learned this language? I understand, I can speak. Why? Because I have understood. It's a very important language for me to communicate with others. We have not realized that understanding that Allah understands all the languages. You see, this is the we need to understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands all the languages. But Allah has declared Arabic language to be the official language that He speaks of. He doesn't want to talk to us with any other language. Make sure that when He selected the final revelation, He made sure that He is the best language, because the Creator, He created وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْوَانِكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. All the language is originating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a saying said that Adam alayhi salam knew all the languages. وَعَدَمَ أَدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Some ulama said that asma is the names of all the objects that you see in all the languages. Because He is the Father of the human race. He knew all this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected this Arabic language to be the official language. When you come to this country, we have so many languages. But then, the government has declared, these are the official languages. English, Spanish, French, that's it. All the government documentation is going to be only in those official languages. And they make sure that those is spoken very clear. Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that. And that's the reason when it comes to Salah, from that time up till now, there are one or two weird scholars that keep an opinion that you can stand in Salah and read in whatever language you can. That's a weird opinion in Islamic sector in the Muslim world, the Muslim scholars will like it. But it's something very common that wherever you go, whatever part you live, if you're going to perform Salah, your language, communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in only Arabic. You cannot say Allah is great. Go only to Allah. But some people they don't know you know that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared this Arabic language, the official language, when we stand in front of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands us, we need to talk with him in this Arabic language. There is a, you know, humor that I want to mention. There was an Indian guy who traveled to, you know, another part of the world. When he went there, he said, oh, our local imam, he is here as well. Because he heard the adhan, the same adhan back home. He came back to Europe, he heard the same adhan. And he went to the masjid. Same surah has been read because he has been listening to it. Then he went and spoke in local language, he's called you. Same guy had come. No, it's not the same guy. Wherever you go, this is how you will. This is a universal language. This is the uniqueness of Islam that nobody can take from us. Nobody can take this from us. How amazing. Because you know, people, non-Arab, sometimes you go, maybe Indonesia is a country, has the largest number of Rafaq. Largest number of Rafaq. Because there, the Muslim population is big. Annual graduation, actually the Imams of Haram goes, annually they have a Rafaq graduation. Just imagine. The annual graduation, there is more than 50,000 from past graduation. What a amazing. You can't imagine this. This is the future of Islam. So let us all now, you know, our children come to here because Arabic language should become key. And how we learn another foreign language, we make sure that with our mother tongue and English and Arabic is something very important. I always tell brothers, these days, you try to learn these three languages. One is your mother tongue, that naturally you speak at home your mother tongue. Because when you don't speak your mother tongue at home, they will not understand the culture better. So don't worry that they're not going to lose out. You speak at home Tamil or Arabic or whatever Urdu or whatever your mother tongue, you speak at home. They go to the school, then they will be the smartest kids in school as well. Because they're getting the additional language. It will help them to establish other languages. You know, but sometimes our parents, we think, okay, if I don't talk to him in English at home, he's not going to be coping up at school. No, don't worry about it. He will do his job there at school. At home, you make sure you teach. If you're going to teach any additional language, make sure you give him the coaching in the class. Arabic language, English, and French. These three languages you can reach to the world. If you want to add another language, Malay, because the largest Muslim population speaks Malay. If you want to add another language, Chinese, because you know, the world population. Yes, because the reason why I'm saying language is a skill, a communication skill. When you have that, you can connect yourself to the people. Connect yourself to the people, we need a niche to convey our message. And Sahaba Kiram, they were really smart in learning language. Encourage them because there is a need of, you know, people possessing an Islamic deen. So Arabic language is something very important. I just went away, mashallah, that there's a lot of opportunity for children us to learn the Arabic language. Make sure because it's Surah Al-Fatiha. We read Surah Al-Fatiha, just imagine, 17 times a day. If you only perform the Fard Salah. If you only perform, you know Sunnah Salah, just the Fard Salah. Yes, we are reading the surah 17 times a day.
But 17 times a day, we don't understand. We just have the ballot at home, we understand it. The tape recorder, the iPhone, you play surah from Fatiha, it reads, but it doesn't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously asks us, Afala ta'qilu, Afala yatadabbaru. Why don't you ponder? Why don't you think? So it's something very important. Surah Fatiha, we need to. You know, then the concentration of khushu comes there, so Surah Al-Fatiha is very important. In Madhab of Shafi'i, we emphasize so much that even if you utter one letter of Surah Al-Fatiha in a proper way, the Salah is not accepted. Because it's emphasizing the perfection. You can say, no, Allah is blessing you, he forgive you, he accept, yes. But we need to try to perfect ourselves. So I think today is the Jum'ah. We need to prepare ourselves for the Jum'ah as well. When the Sunnah of Imam is in the bath, we have a salah, you know, beautify ourselves. Come early to the masjid, we come early, we are rewarded more. The angels are recording our names, inshallah. And then, you know, get involved as much as possible in salawat. Listen. You know, there's a reason earlier was just in the month of Sha'ban, when I was going for a khutbah, I was reading to one of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The month of Sha'ban is my month. That was Sha'ban, Sha'bi. This was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rajab, Shahrullah, Sha'ban, Shahri, Ramadan, Shahrullah.
Why did he say
Sha'ban is my month? When I was going through that, then I found a very interesting Sabab al-Nuzul, the reason of revelation. The verse which mentions about the Salawat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us as believers to say Salawat upon Bilal Rasul Salawat, that verse was revealed in the Sha'ban. That is the greatest gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the hadith when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ascending to the, you know, member Jibreel alayhi wa sallam made three du'as. One of them is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is mentioned, and if you don't say salawat upon him, he incurs body of Allah. Ya Allah, when it comes to Allah, then Allah ibadah is connected with glorifying Allah and then again sending salam, this is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, Yom Jum'ah is the day that we need to exercise this salawat, and then we need to so to do the hadith. We will be so to come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you from the entire week, that one week till the next Friday, you are under the protection of Allah. There's another narration that if you read something here, then Allah will protect you from the trial and test of the jinn. Trial and test of the jinn. So, mashallah, we can, you know, reminding myself of Yom Jum'ah. At 1 o'clock, we will start the khutbah. So before that, come by at least 1:30, 1:45, be here. Get involved, and this is the second Jum'ah of this Ramadan, and another two more, that's it. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq to do and to do action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
That is a very good question. Amongst the scholars, there is a different opinion whether Bismillah is part of the surah or not. There is an argument in this from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Even Sahabas have different opinions. But the most authentic opinion is Bismillah is not part of surah al-Fatiha. The most authentic opinion, according to the majority scholars. The majority scholars and majority Sahaba, according to the research, he has come to the conclusion surah. Bismillah is part of every surah, beginning of surah. But it is not part of, physically not part of surah al-Fatiha. In the Madhab of Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i's opinion and some scholars in the Madhab of Shafi'i, their opinion is surah al-Fatiha. Bismillah is part of surah al-Fatiha. So that's the reason that when Shafi'i imams, when they conduct a salah, they make sure they read Bismillah louder and they continue it. Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not the most authentic opinion according to the research and the majority scholars' opinion is Bismillah is not part of Surah
Al-Fatiha. Is even all the Quran I don't read, even all this, it's the first ayat, and Bismillah Rahman Rahim, even all this Quran.
Yeah. All the 23.
But no, it shows the Quran, it shows ayah number one.
But Bismillah, the other surahs, they don't put ayah number one.
Yes, it shows the Quran is number one.
Ayah number one?
Yeah. Because they have two opinions. What happened? Because Surah Fatiha is in the first surah, so they have included Bismillah as part of the surah. And other surahs, they have not included Bismillah. Because in the beginning of the Quran, and you know, you have to read A'udhu Billah, and then Bismillah begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, by the opinion when I said in the Salah, if in fact someone misses Bismillah, nothing wrong because Surah Fatiha is completely read according to majority scholars. But then there are scholars who bring up, they all have their valid opinion, but then the weight is Bismillah is not part of Surah Fatiha.
Bismillah is one of the ayah too, right? The middle of the Quran.
Yes, yes. That in the Surah Al-Naml, Bismillah comes.
Isn't there nothing to do in this case? You should read Bismillah or not?
That's the reason, because when the hadith is not clear, the problem, the claim, the difference of opinion exists, because hadith does not give us a clear guidance, then you get scholars' difference. So when we have a sahih and very clear hadith, which explicitly says that Bismillah part of it, then we have no problem, we follow that. But since the hadith is not clear, so then there is a flexibility. So, people who take this verse, if you follow a madhab or scholar saying of Bismillah is part, make sure you read it, nothing wrong. But in case you miss it, don't worry that you have not